Well, good morning. Welcome to Rockville Christian Church. We are glad you're here to worship with us, and we're glad you're here to study with us. If you are new here today, my name is Kevin Roach, and I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here on staff. We are glad that you're here with us today. Today, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. So if you guys want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be dealing with the first 13 verses, the exact same thing that Jason just read for us this morning. This morning, I want to start with a question. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you could wrap your mind around what the church could become? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever tried to wrap your mind around the best thing that the church is, that the church can become, that the church can be? The church in its best moments is incredible. The church in its worst moments is devastating. That's why Paul wrote this letter to the people of Ephesus. He wrote this letter that we call Ephesians. He writes this letter because he's trying to say, if you can get your mind wrapped around the best parts that the church can become, it will blow your mind and it will blow your future into something amazing. But if you can't wrap your mind around the best parts that the church can be, then the church can be a group of frustrating people who have no reason as to why they meet together. So Paul, he wrote this letter. And you see, Paul, he broke it down into two sections. You have the wealth that we have in Christ. That's chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then we have the walk that we have with Christ. That's chapters 4, 5, and 6. You see, if you were to read this book in its entirety, if you were to go home and you were to read this book in its entirety, you'd easily be able to divide the book. You have the first half. You have the first three chapters, it's the doctrine of what God has given us. And then you have the last three chapters. It's the praxis, the way we live that stuff out. So today, we are going to be looking at the beginning and the change from what we have in Christ to how we walk in Christ. We're going to be starting right there with how we walk in Christ. And before we get started, the first thing that I want to point out today is that it's an everyday walk. Okay, this is an everyday walk that we choose to do. Okay, it's an everyday walk. This is more than just an analogy. Okay, this is a writing tool that Paul will use in all of his writings. Verse 1. And by the way, I too, like Jason, will be reading from the English Standard Version, so my translation might read a little bit differently than yours. Verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. All right, there are key words all over this one little verse. And this morning, we're gonna pull out some of those key words, and we're going to work our way through them. This first word that I want to look at is this word walk. Your translation probably says live a life. But I want to use this word walk, okay? You have to understand the culture to which Paul is writing to, because there were no vehicles in Paul's day, right? How did they get around? They walked, absolutely. Yeah, they walked everywhere they went. So when Paul says to the people of Ephesus that you need to walk with Christ, he's talking about an everyday experience that the people would have understood. It's an everyday experience. Paul says, walk with Christ. This is the most common example of discipleship that Paul uses in all of his writings. He says, walk with Christ. Life is not a walk. Life is not a run, it's not a sprint. Life is an everyday event. It's an everyday choice to be with him. So Paul says, therefore, as a prisoner, I encourage you. Your translation probably says, I urge you. You see, we have a choice in this. We don't have to go off and show off to get God's attention. We already have God's attention, right? We already have God's attention so much that he sent his son to die to redeem us. So now that we have his attention, shouldn't we love him in return? Paul is saying, I encourage you guys to do this. You have a choice in this. You can do what you want, but I'm encouraging you to do this. I'm urging you to do this. I'm urging you and encouraging you to walk in a worthy manner that is worthy of your calling. And that word worthy, I want to pay attention to as well. You see, this word worthy, there is an expectation that we are different, okay? And I want to point something out. We are not to act differently. We are to be different. Do you see the difference there? Yes. Do you see the difference there? We are not to act different. We are to be different. Okay? It's a choice. Paul is saying, I'm encouraging you to do this. We don't act different. We are different. The blood of Christ, it cannot come upon us and leave us unchanged. So we are different. We live in the different. So it's an everyday walk that we choose to do, okay? And then it's an everyday walk that we do together. It's an everyday walk that we do together. And if I may, I think this is the challenge to the American church. We all live distinct Christian lives. We're all alone. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it by ourselves. We don't need any help in this thing that we call our faith. And that's just unbiblical, guys. Let's read verse 2 and 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I had originally planned to take each one of those words, humility, gentleness, patience, love, unity, and peace, and I was going to show you the Greek, and I was going to show you how they break down, and I was going to define them for you so you could see them. I'm not going to do that anymore. You're welcome. You can thank me afterwards. Here's the truth that you need to know. We in this room, we followers of Jesus, are to be a people who are humble and gentle and forgiving and loving and peace-filling. We are to be a people who are those things. I can define the words for you if you want, but that's all I need to say. Because of what Christ has done, He has allowed us to remain humble and know who we are. We are gentle and meek. We don't have to use power and authority to get what we want. We can use love and peace and mercy and forgiveness. These are the tools that God has equipped us with to make a difference. And you cannot become these things. You cannot perform these things alone. Notice that all of these words, they splash on other people. Your humility is not something that is about you. Your humility is about how you stand in the presence of others. Your gentleness is how you treat others. Your love is what you do for others. Your peace is how you live in light of others. And your forgiveness is what you give to others. You see, you can't do these things alone. They involve other people. They're all meant to be lived in community. It's all in community, and why do we do these things? It says, and we do this for the unity of the Spirit. In verse 4, 5, and 6, Paul talks to us about what this unity is based on. He says in verse 4, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Interesting. Okay, so hear me out. Us in this room, we do not have to agree on the type of music we play on a Sunday morning. We don't have to agree on that. Us sitting in this room, we do not have to agree on what I am allowed or could or should wear when I preach. We don't have to agree on that. In fact, there are many things that the church has actually divided over the years that we don't have to agree on. But at Rockville Christian Church, we will agree on these seven things because they matter. Okay? This is what makes us one. And then Paul, he lists them. He says one body. We are a branch of the church. We are not a separate church. We are a part of the big C, the big church, the universal church, the big kingdom. And we are to be united. We are not at odds with other churches. We are one church. We are one body. He says one Spirit. The same Spirit that led Jesus Christ is the same Spirit that He pours on us, that He fills us with, that He leads us with. And the Spirit of Christ, it does not divide, but rather it unites around the most important of things. He says we have one hope. We were all called by Christ to enter into a covenant with Him where His blood would pay for our sins. And by that blood, we could allow others to be forgiven from their sins so that God could build a new kingdom of people who live in hope. The hope of the resurrection. The hope of the crucified Christ. Listen, our hope is not in the things of this world. Your hope is not in your family. It's not in your kids. It's not in your job. It's not in your paycheck. It's not in any of those things. Your hope is in Jesus Christ alone. This morning, sitting in this room, your hope is not in me. Your hope is not in Greg. Your hope is not in the elders of this church, even though they are great men who have sacrificed so much for this place. Our hope is not in any of those people. Our hope alone is in Jesus. We have one Lord. I don't think we need to talk about this one, do we, church? Do you know who he is? Do you know his name? We know who the one Lord is. He says one faith. The word that Paul uses for faith here, it's interesting. The word faith, it means a saving faith. It means where I put my confidence. It means that Jesus Christ is able to do what I cannot. We have one faith. And then he says one baptism. Jesus is the object of our faith, and into him we were baptized. It is not a baptism into a church brand. It is not a baptism into a local body. It is a baptism into the big church, the big kingdom. We all are being washed by the blood of Christ. Then he says we have one God. We have one God. We have one Father. We do not answer to any man. We answer to the Father who shows us in the church how to live life. Listen, it's so clear. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Listen, I will fight about every single one of those. This is where we draw the line in the sand and we take a stand. I will fight about every single one of those because they matter. I won't fight with you about anything else. What matter are these seven things that Paul lists? These are what we are to be unified about. And if we disagree on something other than these, guess what? We can smile and we can shake hands. We don't have to do those things together. But here at Rockville Christian Church, we will do these seven things. Because it's the strength of the church. And it's the unity of the church. And it's the purpose of the church. Okay? Now that we got that all settled. All right, you can laugh. It's an everyday walk that we choose to do. And then it's an everyday walk that we do together. And then it becomes an everyday walk that we do together in the same direction. Let's read verse 7 through 10. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? But he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, this section of scripture is scary confusing, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to break it down into bite-sized pieces for us to be able to understand. The first piece that you have to understand is that Jesus has gifted each believer. Okay? Jesus has gifted each believer. There are no ungifted followers of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and that we are baptized into him, and when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he gifts each one of us. And if we use those gifts for his glory, and we use these gifts for his honor rather than our own, then it becomes a gift for everybody. Because there is no gift that God gives you that is meant to be kept for yourself. There's no gift that was meant to be kept for yourself. All the gifts that God gives us are to be used to bless other people. Listen, I want you to hear this, and I want you to pay attention to this, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. You are not here to be important. Today, I am not here to be important. The people who sing on this stage are not here to be important. Us in this room this morning, we are not here to be important. We are here to be useful. And we are made useful because Christ has died and he has redeemed us. And he has gifted us for the common good. We are here for a purpose. Let me show you the second piece of this. Jesus bought these gifts at a great price. Jesus bought these gifts at a great price. In verse 8, 9, and 10, Paul starts to write about Jesus ascending and descending, and what does this all mean? Let me break it down for you. Paul is quoting Psalms chapter 68. And in Psalms chapter 68, it's a story about a king who goes into war. And he wins this great battle. And he comes back with the spoils of war. Okay? So with it in mind, let's read Psalm 68, verse 18. It's what he quotes earlier in Ephesians. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Again, what this means is that the king, he went into battle. He defeated his enemies, and he brought back, and he freed the captives that had been taken by the enemy. And he brought back the gifts from this great conqueror. This is what Jesus did upon his crucifixion. Peter and Paul, they both tell us that in that time, he went down and he spoke to those in captivity. That everything they trusted and everything they believed in, he had fulfilled. This great king, he went down, he freed the captives, and he brought them with gifts to the holy city. This is the one we believe in. This is the one we hold on to. Why would Peter and Paul both tell us about this time? Why would they tell us about this moment where Jesus went down and proclaimed to Satan and the rulers, those you have harmed, they're now free. Those you have taken captive by my blood, they are now redeemed. Why would they do this? Why would they tell us this? Because here's what he wants you to know. There is no spiritual power over us if the Holy Spirit is in us. If you are living out the victory of Christ in your life, Satan may come at you, but he may not take you captive. Because the power that is in you is greater. And here's what I want you to think about. This is what I want you to think about. We cannot treat the spiritual gifting of God lightly when we understand the price he paid to purchase those gifts. Let me say that again. We cannot treat the spiritual gifting of God lightly when we understand that Jesus died to purchase those gifts for us. If every one of us is gifted, and we've established that we are, the question for all of us this morning is, are we using that gifting? Are we honoring the gift given to us in Christ? You see, Jesus died on the cross to save us. And he died on the cross to enable us to serve him. So a Christian who will accept salvation but will not accept service is a Christian who has misunderstood the price paid. Paul goes on to give us a glimpse of the church. And this is where I want to kind of conclude today. Verses 11, 12, and 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It says he gave gifts. And we know some of these gifts are going to be gifts that people notice. Some of those gifts that he gives are going to be very private and quiet, but they bless other people. And Paul tells us that God did this so that all of us may grow. These gifts are what make the church, guys. Listen, this is not a guilt trip. This is not meant to make you feel bad if you are not serving in some capacity. It's not meant to shame you. It's meant to be an encouragement because there is a reason you are here. You are not just called to be saved. You're called to serve. And when you are in your gifting, doing the things that God has called you to do, you will be blessed beyond measure. Now, the problem is for some of us is that we just haven't found our place in the kingdom. We haven't found our place to be able to use our gifting in the kingdom. And so the kingdom has become kind of stale. The kingdom has become kind of boring. Don't quit looking for that space. The way God wired you gives you a chance to contribute to the church. Let me prove it to you. He says this one line in verse 12. It says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we're to be doing. We are using our gifts to prepare people. Paul uses this word equip, interestingly. This word equip is used 13 times throughout the New Testament. and it looks different in different places where he uses it. And this morning, I'd like to share with you what this word equip looks like in different places. The word equip means to teach. The word equip means to help people receive good things. This word equip means to supply what is lacking. It means to prepare for use. It means to form or mold or to shape. It means to mend or repair. It means to correct fault. It means to restore a fallen brother. It means to bring about a functioning harmony. It means to equip the saints for the work of service. Listen, this is a walk that we are doing together. We're doing this walk together, and we're all headed to the same direction. We are all trying to make our way back to God. And what I want you to think about this morning, what I want you to think about this morning, church, is what has God laid upon your heart? What has God gifted you to do? What is your passion for the church, for the common good, for the equipping of the saints for ministry? Some of you might say, hey, I like to teach. Some of you might say, hey, I like to be up on stage and sing or play an instrument. Some of you might say, hey, I like to plant flowers. I want to take care of the ground. Some of you say, hey, I might like to mow. Some of you might say, hey, I like to serve, or I want to do communion, or I want to work with little kids, or I want to be on the technology side of it, or whatever it is. I could probably come up with 100 off the top of my head right now. But deep down, you know what it is that you love about being a part of the church that you want to offer to the rest of us. You know deep down what it is that you love about being a part of the church. What has God gifted you to do to share with the church? I want you guys to think about this. Because when you start to think about this, you're going to start to acknowledge the truth from Paul's text today. Not all of us want to do the same things. Not all of us are gifted to do the same things, but we are all gifted. And when we give those gifts back to God for His honor and for His glory, rather than for our own, God makes a church, guys. He makes a church that equips and strengthens and helps people come into contact with the fullness of Christ to experience all that Jesus came to bring. Listen, guys, we are here to be a blessing to other people. We are here to give our life for others. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning in all of who you are, in all of what you've done. We thank you so much for sending your son to the cross to die for us. Lord, this morning we just reflect upon our lives, that you have gifted each and every one of us, and some of us are in our gifting, and we are being blessed beyond measure, and some of us are not. Lord, I ask at this time that you just lay it upon our heart to serve. Lord, help us to find our area to where we are being gifted. We know deep down what that is, but help us latch onto that and hold on to that so that we may bless others, so that we may bring glory to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.